Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The Bible tells us that we are to live by faith and walk by faith, and that our faith is what overcomes the whole world. And so there is much to learn about it. There's a Godward side and there's a manward side. We can't do God's part. He won't do our part. And our part is making the choice to believe Him and trust Him and obey Him. And so you need to hear some things. You need to know some things and get built up to make the right choices. So we're glad that you're with us today. Get a Bible, get something to make a note with. Come on into the class. We saved you a seat right here. And I'm real close so I can look in the eye, make sure you're getting everything. So put everything else aside. Give the Lord your full attention, please. Lord, we all ask you, we agree together as touching this, asking you for the utterance, for the anointing, for the answers, for the direction, for the help, for right now, as only you can do it. And we purpose to respect it and keep it and act it. And we thank you for watching over it to perform it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been for a number of weeks on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. Like we said, to just live by faith and to walk by faith. And we need faith in every area of life. If you've heard the word on an area a lot and you've believed it and received it, well, your faith gets strong in that area. But if you've never heard anything about it, you're going to be weak in that area. You know, Jesus did this with the disciples and the people he ministered to. Multiple times he would say, where is your faith? He would say, oh, you of little faith. Sometimes he would say, how is it that you have no faith? So you can be in a little faith position. You can be in a no faith position. Thank God it's fixable.
Yes.
It's fixable. And how does faith come, class? Anybody remember? It comes by what you hear, by what you hear. And so that's why we are hearing things, and we're giving you 30 reasons in the scriptures, one after another, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, that's a big statement, all inclusive for everybody, all the time. Well, God doesn't change, and He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. If He did something for one person, He'll do it for you if you'll do what they did.
Amen.
So say it out loud, I am sure.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for us all. Say it again, abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
You have to get that settled or you won't have faith for it. As long as you're questioning the will of God, maybe He is using poverty to teach me, to help me. You cannot have faith for provision if you believe that. One of the most important things you could ever learn in life is what to receive and what to resist, right? A lot of people are resisting a good thing and receiving a bad thing because of thinking wrong, believing wrong. Well, how can I tell that my believing is right? We got a book.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And what a book. And it is the inspired Word of God, and the Bible is right about everything. And, you know, you hear sometimes people disrespect the Bible and they talk about, well, you know, that's just, you know, old writings from another time and there's a lot of inconsistencies in it and error in it. There are no errors in the Word of God. Zero. Now, you know, you got to remember, a lot of what we're looking at are translations from original languages, sometimes two and three and four down. And we're not saying every translation is perfect. We're not saying that. But the original words that came from God and came through these writers, they are perfect. Right? If there's errors, then it wasn't from God. And if you find something, which I have numerous times, found things in the Word didn't look like it agreed to me. And I thought, well, how can both of these be right? But that just, I just found something I didn't understand was all that happened. And sometimes it took me years to grow and realize, oh, well, of course, that matches perfectly when you understand and learn more and grow more. There's some questions you just can't answer for a three-year-old. Right? You could tell them, they still wouldn't know what you're talking about. You just got to grow. But friend, brother, sister, you can trust the Bible. It is perfected. It is purified. God, knowing the end from the beginning, considered everything before He said it. It is right. It is good. And if your believing is based on that, you're on the solid rock. Hallelujah. That even though the winds blow and the storm comes, when it all stops, you'll be standing there. Hallelujah. With the victory, because this is steadfast forever. Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away, but not His word. His word is forever. We began number one in our study of 30 reasons that the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23:1. Most Christians everywhere like the 23rd Psalm. And listen to what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of it? I shall not want. That same word translated wants, translated lack in other places. It means lack. It means need. I shall not lack, I shall not need. Let me read some of the translations to you. The Young's Literal says, the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd, I do not lack. The NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. God's Word translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. What a statement. You want to say it? Say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I am never in need. Holman says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. The NIRV says, the Lord is my shepherd, He gives me everything I need. The BBE says, the Lord takes care of me as His sheep, I will not be without any good thing. The Easy to Read says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Is that Bible? Is it Scripture?
Yes.
Could I believe it?
Yes.
Would it be okay for me to say it over myself?
Yes.
Well, how much room does that leave for being broke?
No.
Huh? See, those two don't go together. Go ahead, say it out loud. You're just quoting Psalm 23:1. Say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I am never in need.
I am never in need.
The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack.
There is nothing I lack.
He gives me everything I need.
He gives me everything I need.
I will always
have everything
I need.
I need.
Well, that's not running out. That's not doing without. That's not being poor and broke. Now, you got to get this settled. Because there's confusion all through the body about this. People say, well, yeah, if it was God's will for everybody to have plenty, they would have plenty. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. You might as well say, if it was God's will for everybody to be saved, they'd be saved. Well, the Scripture says in Peter, He's not willing that any should perish. So does that mean everybody will be saved? No. Jesus said a lot of people were going down the wrong path that led to destruction and relatively few that would be saved. So no, whether a person was saved or not, it was always God's will for them to be saved. You're with me, class. Whether a person is healed or not, It's always God's will for them to be healed, whether they ever receive it or not. And whether you have abundance of provision in your life or not, it was always God's will for you to have it.
Amen.
Huh? Let's agree with God, right? And let's stop questioning His will, which is revealed forever in His Word. So just with that first reason, reason number one, the Lord's our shepherd. We saw reason to believe He wants us to have abundant provision always, all the time for all of us. So we went on to see the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven. You see His will for provision in all of these. The God of Abraham, that we are the seed of Abraham. We talked about the blessing of tithing. The Scripture doesn't say tithe and be broke. Right? Tithe and He'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out blessing you don't have room to receive, and rebuke the devourer for your sake. That doesn't sound like being broke. We talked about honor and riches from the Word. The Lord said, you honor me, I will honor you. And we see the way He uses the word honor includes material things as well. And we looked at wisdom and wealth. He didn't say, listen to me and be wise and be broke. The Scriptures in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, other places reveal, if you'll walk in the wisdom of God, you'll prosper materially as well. So He said, be imitators of God as dear children. He lives large, doesn't He? God lives big. He doesn't live broke. The great I am, the names of God, the God of restoration we talked about. We talked about how God provided in the wilderness on number 15, how that He can provide for you anywhere. Doesn't matter where you are. There were no grocery stores out there. There was no farmland, bleak, desolate desert, and yet He fed them every day for 40 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said out loud, my God, can and will meet all my needs, no matter where I am, every day. Hallelujah. That's what we call the Lord's Prayer. Is actually the Lord teaching us to pray. He said part of the prayer is, give us day by day, or give us this day our daily bread. It's God's will for us to have every day what we need. And you can expect it and look forward to it. The 16th one that we're on now, and we've been on this one, we're spending some extra time on it, but it's certainly worthy of doing so, is the promised land. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all, because of the promised land. This began with Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God. He's in covenant with God. And God told him that all the land that he had sojourned and traveled across in his lifetime there, it was actually seven different nations and their territories. The Lord told him He was giving him all of that land, and that his seed, his descendants, would inherit that land. He even told him how long it would be, 400 years. You know, we think 100 years is a long time, but to God, the Bible said, 1,000 years is like a day. Now, our perspective is way different. You can get a bit of a understanding. When you are 5 years old, and somebody tells you, you say, well, how long will it be? And they say, a year. You're like, oh, no. Right? A year is like a millennia, right? I mean, a year, you know? Or I remember I wanted my driver's license, you know, and when I was 8 and 9 and 10, and I thought, oh, man, you know, I got to wait till I'm 15. Dear me, that's like a lifetime. But by the time you hit 40, a year, you're like, man, I just got used to riding this year, you know, and tomorrow. And by the time you're 80 or 90, you're like, oh, man, it just started and this is done. And your perception of time changes the older you get. Well, what if you've been around for millions of years, right? then see a millennia to God is like last night, the psalmist said. 1,000 years to him is like last night. Do you remember last night? A millennia. Well, then that begins to give us understanding of our lifespan. The psalmist said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may know how few they are. And James says, what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while. Well, if 1,000 years is like a day to God, it'd be like a 24-hour period is to us, then 100-year span would be like a couple of hours to God. And so if you've already lived 50 and you made it to 100, you got about an hour left. God, really, it's passing. It is moving. Even if you're a teenager and you think, well, I got my whole life in front of me, only with God sustaining you. There's a lot of young people die every day. You want to follow Him and let Him keep you and protect you. But even if you do have 70, 80 years in front of you, whatever, it will pass so fast. Don't waste it. Redeem the time, and the best and highest use of our time is for God. Right? Doing what He made us to be and do and called us to do and accomplish. Let's get after it. Let's do it. Let's finish it, because soon we're out of here. Well, while we're here doing this, we need some resources. We don't have time to waste waiting on money, waiting on the funding. Well, as soon as we get the money and a year passes and 5 years go by, which is more valuable, money or time? Time is much more valuable than money. And God knows how to get funding to you. He knows how to get the resources in your life, in your hands. Don't chase the money. Pursue following God, right? And obeying Him, finding His will. Don't try to find out ways to get the money. Seek to find His will, His plan. And apply yourself to do that, because if you're doing what He told you to do, you don't have to plead with Him to support it. It was His idea, right? To begin with, and His plan comes with His provision. Do you believe it or not? His plan comes with the provision. And anytime that you're running short on provision, one of the first things I do is stop and look, okay, am I doing what He told me to do? Right? Did I get off track here somewhere? Am I trying to implement something He didn't tell me to do? Because He's not obligated to fund every wild idea you come up with. Huh? That went over like a lead balloon. I said He's not obligated to fund and finance, provide for everything you or me come up with. No, what the Bible say? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all your ways means every day of your life, you are checking. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? Who do you want me to help? What do you want me to be involved in? And you don't just do that one day. You do it every day. And you don't just do it in the morning. Come on, y'all with me. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Go ahead and pray it right now. Say, Father God, I acknowledge your plan is best by far. Nothing else compares. I lay aside my thoughts, my plans, and I seek your plan. Reveal to me where you want me to be, who you want me to be with, what you want me to be doing. I delight to do your will, O God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you meant that, He will surely confirm to you what His plan is. And once He puts you in a place now where you're supposed to be, The enemy will do his best to get you out of there. He'll try to get you mad, upset, hurt, offended, something, so that you jump out and unhook from where God put you. It has happened too many times. No, if Jesus is your Lord, you don't just go and join a church or help a ministry or these kind of things and then quit when you want to and change when you want to. We are in the armed forces of God, right? And you don't write your own orders. There's been some times, my wife and I have been in some places, and it got uncomfortable. And some things weren't fun. And there's been times when I went in the bedroom, and I prayed, and I put in a request for a transfer. I said, Lord, I'd like to do something else. I'd like to go somewhere else. And it came back, denied. Now, what am I going to do? Huh? If I say, well, I don't care, I don't have to take this, I don't put up with this, I'm leaving, you know, I'm doing something else. Well, now I'm AWOL. Is that right? I'm absent without leave. I'm gone without permission. From my Lord. And when you're out of the will of God, you get out from under protection. You get unhooked from provision. It's open season on you. Bad place to be, I'm telling you. All kind of Christians, that's where they are right now, today. God put them in a good place, and somebody didn't do what they wanted to do, and they found out they actually would have to submit, which they thought was a cuss word, and they just, you know, parents have done children a terrible disservice by letting them grow up with no discipline and no instruction, and now they think the whole world owes them something when they go out into life and get a rude awakening when everybody doesn't, you know, satellite around them. No, boy, it got quiet when I said that. When God, the Lord said this to me at one point. He said, go where you're sent, stay where you're stationed. Everybody say it out loud. Go where you're sent.
Go where you're sent.
Stay where you're stationed.
Stay where you're stationed.
Now see, the flesh is always impatient. You know, if he said go, a lot of times the flesh says, yeah, but I'm comfortable. I just want to stay. No, go where you sent. And then if you're sent to a place, a lot of times the flesh is impatient. Well, I've had enough of this. I want something new. I want to try something new. No, stay where you're stationed, right? You got to put your flesh under. And there's no guarantee that everybody there is going to treat you right. There's not. The Lord didn't tell you they're always going to treat you wonderful or appreciate your gift. No, you're not just serving them, you're serving Him. Is that right? And you can put up with some stuff, whatever you need to do to accomplish His will and plan for your life. And you'll be so glad you did, because He had a place for them called the Promised Land. Hallelujah. It was a place where every need was met and there was no lack. And God has a place for you. God has a place for me in this life, and if we'll believe it and listen to Him and follow Him, He'll get us there. And if we'll have some patience and faith and not jump out and stay as long as He tells us, we'll develop and we'll receive the things that He had planned for us to receive. Say it out loud, by the grace of the Lord, I will go where I'm sent. By the help of the Lord, I will stay where I'm stationed. In the will of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look with me, if you would, in Deuteronomy 8, and we'll touch on this. A lot to talk about today and this week. Hope you can come back with us for the following sessions. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. The scripture said, you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land. I want you to note that, because we're going to be referring to that numerous times. What kind of land?
Good
land. Don't minimize that word good. lot of things in the scripture describe good and evil. Now, evil is a word we don't use as much in our modern vernacular, but it basically means bad. Bad. Bad effects, bad results, bad inherent character, that kind of thing. The opposite of good. God is good. That's a statement that's been used a lot, maybe sometimes overused, and by that I mean people just saying it as a empty, idle phrase. But God is good. He is truly good. He is amazingly good. And He is not bad. And the psalmist said, God is good and does good. He doesn't do bad. He doesn't do evil. And so when he said, I spied out a land for you, and I've got it for you, and he's leading them to it, it's what kind of land? And this is where they're going to live. He's got planned for them a good life in a good place. Has he changed? Is he a respecter of persons? Then what's he got planned for you? A good life in a good place, right? With good things. He goes on to say here, it's a good land, a land that brooks of water, fountains of depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and oil, olive and honey, a land wherein you will eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it. That used to be God's will. Huh? Still is God's will. Said out loud, He has a place for me. A good place. A plan for me. A good plan. From my good God. Hallelujah. Well, our time's up today. It passes quickly, doesn't it? So everybody said out loud like we do, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. You're what? You're what?
Strong.
You are? I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, come back next time. There's a lot more to see here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.